You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Daily Hammer, your daily news source when it comes to the Atlanta Braves as part of the Battery Power Podcast Network. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening. And we are finally here. The 2024 regular season starts this week with the Braves and the Phillies in Philadelphia, weather permitting. We'll be able to see Spencer Strider and Zach Wheeler getting the season off to a start, just like we saw it unfortunately end on a few games last year. But hey, I have a familiar name with me, one of the best sports minds, especially when it comes to the good state of Georgia, one of the best sports minds out there, a good friend of the show. I'm thrilled to have gotten to know him over the past few years. His name is Lang Whitaker. Lang, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to talk with you again, man. Hope all's been well and you're in.
All's good, Sean. I'm always love talking to you about the Braves, and I'm just glad baseball season's here again.
Absolutely. For those who may not know, of course, Lang, he's well known through his, time. He's covered Georgia sports, the Atlanta area, for many years, a big time Georgia fan. We won't talk too much about that.
Go Dogs.
Yeah, but he now does a lot of stuff with the Memphis Grizzlies, but he also has had his contributions when it comes to the Braves on Grind City Media. Him and Rob Fisher, they have their podcast, The Infield Fly. And then also he is an author of In the Time of Bobby Cox, the Atlanta Braves, their manager, My Couch, Two Decades and Me, talking about, from a fandom perspective, just enjoying the 91 to 2005 run. But Lang, yeah. let's get to this. We'll start off right off the bat. You wrote a book about that run. 14 straight years of division titles, only one World Series. Yeah, sure, that's a disappointment. But the thing is that was one of the more dominant runs in recent history that we've seen in baseball. This current run that we're seeing from the Braves is 6 years, but we're kind of at what feels like, I don't want to say it's the peak yet, but this, for the second straight year at least, is the best team in baseball. Any comparisons, contrasts, when you look at this run and this team that we're seeing with the Braves versus that run? This one obviously led by offense, that one by pitching.
Yeah.
Anything else stand out to you?
No, that's the immediate thing to me would be, that one, it felt like, Chipper was sort of the mainstay, right, on offense, and Andrew. But then, around them, you saw other guys kind of come and go, and, players come in 2-3 years at a time and then move on. And, even just all the different first basemen they had during that run, from Galarraga to McGriff to whoever else, there were different players who did all those roles. But the guys who were sort of the mainstays, and the whole thing was really just built around that, the pitching staff, especially the, Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz. And I guess this run it's a sort of inverted, right? It's the opposite. We have Freeman, I guess, got swapped out for Olsen, but then you have Riley, and now we have these young guys that might end up being sort of the cornerstones of this thing. Albies and Acuna and Michael Harris, these younger guys who are signed to these long-term deals. Maybe these are the guys who it's built around. And then, who knows what happens with Max Fried, but Strider's kind of that younger guy now who's signed long-term. I guess the bigger takeaway to me, Sean, is that one was kind of more based on pitching and not outscoring your opponents. And this one is more like, hey, we're going to score more runs than you. And maybe at some point it flips. Maybe we get the starting pitching and we'll see how this bullpen this year works out. But I feel like this one's a little bit more based on offense and maybe a little more geared toward the modern game of baseball than previously was in the 90s.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point, to the point that the reason why this one, you're right, right? Like, you know, that one in the past was you had Maddux, you had Glavin, you had Smoltz, and you had a few other pitchers as there. But then you had Chipper and Andrew as the main guys in the lineup. This time around, you've got your Acuna, your Riley, your Olsen, who are kind of your, you know, big time trio. And then your Chipper of this era of Braves may actually be Strider. You know, I'm not going to get too far into that, but yeah, it's kind of inverted, which is fun. But the thing that stands out to me is that we only won one World Series during that stretch. We won our World Series during this stretch so far. We certainly don't want to go by the wayside the opportunity that we have over the next few years. And we've had some golden opportunities over the past 2 years that didn't work out. Coming off of last year, Lane, pitching, it was the offense that struggled. But pitching really was what the focus of the offseason was. What are you feeling about in terms of this 2024 squad that gives you more optimism compared to the past 2 years?
I don't know how optimistic I am about the pitching, to be honest. I mean, you know, we're still relying a lot on 56-year-old Charlie Morton. And you know, we have Max Fried, who got hurt last year when we needed him. Morton was hurt last year when we needed him. It felt like, you know, when we did win the World Series, even then the starting pitching was just kind of held together with Scotch tape and bullpen games and, you know, relying on Jesse Chavez. And now we go all in this offseason to get Chris Sale, and who knows what that's going to happen. So I don't really know what to make of this pitching staff. I trust Alex Anthopoulos the same way in the 90s we used to trust John Schuerholz. I trust Alex Anthopoulos and his staff, and I feel like if they go do something, then it's probably going to work out. But I'm a little bit still kind of wondering what's going to happen. I guess there's a little bit more depth with the starters than there was a year ago. The fact that, like, Bryce Elder's not one of your top four or five starters when he was an all-star a year ago speaks to that, I think, a little bit, and we'll see what – eventually happens with Lopez if he ends up in the bullpen or as a fourth, fifth starter guy. But I don't know. I don't, Sean, how do you feel about it? I'm still kind of like not 100% bought into to this pitching, at least the starting pitching staff at this point.
I think that the theoretical idea of this starting staff certainly it has a higher ceiling than it has had in the past because you've got Fried, you've got Strider. And then you've got Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale, who you, from the left and right side, you have options that could potentially go through an opposing playoff lineup one or two times. That type of depth is good. You've got good depth in your bullpen, but you're still relying on a lot of questionable pieces to be healthy. And I think that this depth could allow for us to be healthy, but it's got to be there. And for those that don't know, you know, again, I mentioned Lane Whitaker does a lot of great stuff, you know, with the Grizzlies. If I'm not going to, you know, I can only speak for myself here, but I think Lane agrees. If there's a couple of people who are ready to have a stretch of health, it's me and Lane. Coming off last year with the Braves, this year with the Grizzlies, we're ready. We're ready for some good health. But Lane, I think to shift gears, what you're kind of getting at is this. Listen, we can sit here and make all the different changes to the pitching staff that we want to. Hopefully health is there. But at the end of the day, what's going to lead us to a championship is the identity of this team. And we just talked about it, the offense. The offense has to show up. And that's one thing that you didn't really see a lot of change in, which speaks to Alex Anthopoulos' consistency of, I have faith this offense is going to figure it out and get it done. What are your thoughts about going into 2024 after a truly historic 2023 regular season and then a pretty huge letdown in the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't really know how you would improve it, the offense. You know, like, I mean, they were number one OPS, number one run scored, number one homer, all those different stats the offense led the league in last year. Like what are you going to do to make it better? You know, and I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, the only real change is getting rid of Rosario and putting the platoon in left field, but everyone else is back. And, like, I guess maybe you just tell them, hey, we want you to be hit for average a little more in the postseason. I don't know. I feel like offensively, like, The offense did its job a year ago until the playoffs. But for most of the season, the offense was what carried us. And I trust they'll do that. I think really, like, you know, they thought, well, look, it worked. Let's run it back. And then pitching-wise, there's room for improvement there. And we've seen them go out and make some of these moves and bring these power arms in, especially in the bullpen, I guess. But I think the offense, like, I don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I know it's hard to say it ain't broke when they put up the disappointing performance that they did in the postseason, but it wasn't, for most of the season, it was good. And I think you kind of have to look at that postseason and think, well, you got to kind of look at it as sort of an aberration. And, you know, maybe it's a learning experience because there's so many young guys in that lineup.
Absolutely. And the thing that stood out about it, Lang, and I know that you have a connection to this with how much you've covered sports in the South and also, you know, being from Georgia yourself, so many awesome talents, you know, that are contributing to the Braves, you know, Alec, Austin Riley, Sean Murphy, Matt Olson, they're all from the South, all from Braves country. But the one that stands out this year who you're saying, okay, is there any part of this lineup that can improve? It's Michael Harris II potentially being the next guy to take the jump up to being an absolute stud. When you look at him, he's so much fun to watch. Lang, what are your thoughts on him? Just, you know, having, you know, hopefully that breakout year that really could establish him and Acuña as maybe being the best outfield duo in the league.
I was at his one of his first starts when he was a rookie and he got called up in the middle of the year and he made that sort of like tumbling diving catch in center field where he basically barehanded it and somehow held on to it. And it was so fun to see him get out there right away and start producing. I think people kind of forget also, you remember last year, he got hurt at the start of the year. He had that back thing and it kind of, he didn't play for a couple, at least weeks it felt like, and it kind of got things off to a weird start. And I don't know. I feel like he gets overshadowed a little bit because he's playing next to one of the greatest center, greatest outfielders ever, possibly, in Acuña, definitely one of the Braves' best outfielders of all time. And I think people kind of – Michael Harris is going to get overlooked a little bit. And because, look, I mean, look at the lineup around him, right? Like, it's easy to kind of look at him and just see, like, oh, okay, he's just sort of a complimentary player. But hopefully, he comes back this year and gets a full year and is able to kind of get off to a strong start. Like, if anyone should – besides Ronald, be able to take advantage of all these rules and the bigger bases and the stolen, like Michael Harris seems like tailor-made for that. And now it's just a matter of getting more reps and continuing, I think, to grow and improve. And I have full confidence in him, and I feel like he's going to be our center fielder for the next decade. I'm all for it. What do you think, Sean? What would you like to see from him heading into this year?
I would absolutely like for him, to your point, to have that full season of health. And I know that this will be his third year in the league, right? He's 23 years old. It's not like he's an injury prone player, but just being able to get it together like that. That's just what stands out to me, because he's got so much darn talent. It's just, it's unbelievable. And you want to cheer for the guy, because he truly is. The Braves have a lot of these guys, but Michael Harris II is just such a good ambassador for the Braves, for the game. He gets it. He's a smart kid who just enjoys the opportunity that he has, knows that he's there to make the most of it, and he truly wants to be great. So that's he's easy to cheer for, in other words. Now, Lang, I'll ask you this question. Listen, we mentioned Acuña, Riley, Olson, you know, Strider Fried, Michael Harris. We mentioned the guys that you expect to, you know, be leading the charge for the Braves to be the best team in baseball. Anybody that really stands out to you that if this guy has an outstanding year, this is truly what is going to fill a need for this Braves team to have a better shot this year of going where they want to go than the last 2 years?
Well, I mean, talking about injuries like we just did, and with Harris last year and missing time, and then you just ran through a bunch of the names of sort of like the bold-faced guys who have been so great, but you didn't mention, and it's somebody who had injury stuff last year, Ozzie Albies, who had sort of some bad luck and, you know, like hurt his hand and had that stuff go wrong and was just banged up, and they got him back in time for the postseason. But, you know, we really missed him when he was out. And I feel like that's another guy who, you know, another awesome contract that Anthopoulos has him signed to. And is sort of one of those like spiritual leaders to me. You know, you always see him and Acuña together in the dugout, laughing, making jokes, keeps everything going. I feel like Ozzie Albies is sort of underrated, in terms of what he brings to this team and just how good. I mean, we know that MLB screwed him when they did that top 10 second baseman. He's one of the best second basemen in the game. And I feel like if he can get off to a great start and be one of those catalysts for this team, then like that makes a difference. If he's producing, you know, it takes some of the pressure off of Austin Riley and takes some of the pressure off even Arcia and Olsen in the infield, and kind of keeps the lineup moving a little bit. He can kind of hit for power sometimes. He can contact. He can get on base. He's fast on the bases. I feel like he ticks a lot of boxes, and he kind of gets overlooked a little bit with everything else going on with this team. But to me, he's sort of one of those ultimate glue guys in Major League Baseball.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's had his, you know, injury issues over the past 2 years, and bounced back a little bit last year, you know, being able to, you know, put it together the old Albies way. But, you know, coming into an offseason, he's got that little bit of motivation from, you know, what's out there with MLB Network. And so, you know, we'll see. I don't know how much that necessarily plays into things, but I do think that definitely, hey, I'm one of the best second basemen in the game. I want to go out there and prove it. On my end, Lang, you know, I think that Sean Murphy, kind of following in the Mets' footsteps, you know, coming from Oakland, we saw Olsen. He had a good season his first year as a Brave, but not necessarily to his peak. But then he had an excellent spring training last year in his second season in Atlanta, erupted into a top five MVP candidate. Sean Murphy was a top five MVP candidate in the first half of last year, but fell off tremendously in the second half. I think that his overall improvement with the spring that he's had, I think some adjustments have been made to his swing. If he's locked and loaded, that just makes our lineup so much deeper, and we arguably have the best catcher in the game if he shows up.
Yeah, and I know, like, you know, David O'Brien in The Athletic is always talking about the sort of the team between him and Darnell, and then Sal Fasano as the catching coach. He did a great article about it a couple of days ago. But, you know, that gives the Braves such depth at catcher. To be able to have Darnell and him together, it's amazing. And you remember the start of the year last year, whenever Darnell would be in the lineup and Murphy would not be in the lineup, and everybody was all up in arms about it. And I think by the end of the year, you kind of saw, like, as Murphy kind of tailed off a little bit, he probably wore down a little bit and you know, needed a day off here and there. So it's such a luxury, I think, for the Braves to have that depth at catcher. And I look forward to seeing both those guys get in the lineup and produce this year.
You know, Lang, another, you know, underrated aspect of this team is that, you know Braves country, Lang. You've been a part of it for you know, years now. You've wrote about it, obviously. Another aspect of this team that's fun is that we've got some guys in place, some veterans, who they're not necessarily going to be relied upon to carry the load, but they are definitely guys who can show up and contribute when they need to. Kind of like Toby Keith, you know, mentioned in his song, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good as once as I ever was. Travis d'Arnaud, Adam Duvall, Charlie Morton, you know, we just re-signed Jesse Chavez. Not sure how much he'll contribute, but just good to have him back in the organization.
Yeah.
One thing that stands out to me is that this is a team that people like. Like, this is a team that people want to be a part of, a franchise experience people want to be a part of. That, to me, has value, even, again, if these guys aren't contributing on an everyday level.
I think that starts, you know, Sean, from the top down with Snicker. You know, you always hear players talk about how great it is to play for him and you know, how he understands what it's like. I mean, you can sort of draw that same connection with Bobby Cox, right? Like, you know, the ultimate player's manager and always stood up for them, got thrown out all the time just so they wouldn't get thrown out. Like, Snicker is sort of the same way. I feel like he's a player's manager. He always stands up for his players. He never really throws them under the bus. He always looks out for them. And I feel like these guys, have some loyalty to him and to this staff. You know, there hasn't been. It's going to be interesting with Ron Washington gone. We haven't mentioned that. You know, and Eric Young gone. Like, it's the first time in a few years that there's been some turnover on that coaching staff like this. So it'll be interesting to see what happens from that end. But it felt, it always felt like, I mean, I'm on the outside looking in. I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know. But, you know, look, you and I, we spend 162 nights a year watching these guys and seeing them. And it always felt like there was, it was almost like a family watching them, the way they all get along and everyone was able to coexist and be part of this thing. And I feel like, you know, that's the thing people want to be part of. Like, that's why Charlie Morton wants to stick around. That's why Chavez keeps coming back. That's why the Braves are able to prioritize not only awesome players, but good clubhouse guys and guys that, who are understand what it means to be part of this team and be part of this bigger organism, I think. And so I don't know if, how much of a difference a Jesse Chavez will make on the field at this point in his career, but I guarantee you off the field, he makes a big difference. And that's why guys like that, and guys like a Duvall keep getting opportunities here. You know, it's hard to find good players. It's harder to find good people. And the Braves have found some good people and they keep those guys around.
Absolutely. And two of the guys you can hear with Lane Whitaker finishing up, you know, our season preview with Lane, kind of been a tradition here just because, again, Lane's one of the best people I know when it comes to talking sports with and just people in general. Lane, you know, you talk about those mainstays and two of the mainstays that we've had here for years who have been so, you know, it's no coincidence, in my opinion, that we started winning at the level that we did when Max Fried took over his spot in the rotation and AJ over his spot in the bullpen, and they're both in their last years of their control before they hit free agency. Writing pretty much is on the wall that they're going to test free agency. How big of a season do you expect from them, and how important are they going to be to the Braves, you know, making the most of this season?
Yeah, I mean, I Max Fried is the one to me that I don't know what they'll do with him. Like, you know, they've shown like a certain lack of sentimentality, especially we saw with Freddie Freeman, right? Like when he hit free agency and they're like, all right, see you, dude. I don't know if they'll do that with Max Fried. I don't know what, you know, how much he'll command, if they'll get him at some sort of hometown discount, if it comes to that, or if it gets to that point of the season at the trade deadline and the Braves aren't looking like they're close, do they move him at that point and try to replenish the minor leagues a little bit? I don't know what's going to happen with that. I know, you know, relief pitchers, it's not as much of a demand sometimes for those guys, and maybe keeping Mentor around would be something that's a little easier to pull off. But Fried's going to be an interesting, I think, test case for Alex Anthopoulos and this Braves front office. You know, there was such a cry when they let Freddie Freeman go, and people were upset. And then Matt Olson came in and looked pretty good, right, you know, from the start, and Freddie Freeman clearly was upset that he wasn't back in Atlanta. And I you know, it all kind of worked out for the Braves. But, you know, I think about the Atlanta Hawks back in the, whenever it was, the 90s, when they traded away Dominique Wilkins and never really recovered for a decade. So I don't know what happens with Max Fried. Like, it's not just one player that makes a baseball team. The Braves have tons of offense, but he's been one of these guys who's carried this team, the pitching staff, at least the last four or five seasons, six seasons. And if he's not around anymore going into next year, what does that mean? I don't know, but I'm very curious to see how the Braves handle this situation and what they end up doing with Max Fried.
And so with that, one final question, Lane, you know, that I haven't really talked about it that much, but it's been in the back of my mind, and I think it's worth talking about, is that I think there's a sense of urgency. The players probably won't talk about it, and the franchise won't maybe even acknowledge it, but You've worked through losing some big-time talents. Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson.
Yeah.
You've now worked through some turnover on your coaching staff. But after this season, you've got Fried, Mentor, and Morton, who are likely going to be moving on. If this season doesn't end in a World Series, you've got three straight years where you did not live up to expectations. Narratives may change. I don't mean to sound dramatic, but getting it done this year, I think there's a little bit more of a need to get it done. Like, I think we'll be in contention for the rest of this decade, hopefully. You know, windows are never as open as you think they may be in sports. But the point that I'm getting at is I think the need, the urgency is a bit more there. And I think the players don't necessarily use that as a way to make them more anxious or uneasy. They use it as motivation. But do you get that? Am I being too dramatic, or do you kind of get that feeling as well?
No, I think you're probably right. I mean, losing the way they did last year, I think probably even magnifies that a little bit. You know, after being as dominant as they were all season long and then going into the playoffs and just looking so terrible, I think that probably makes it even more personal for these guys, right? Like, they're probably even more urgency, to use your word. There's probably more of that from these players because they thought, you know, like, look, we did it last year, all season long. We beat everybody last season. We put up any number you were looking for, any stat. We won so many games. We dominated our division. We did everything. And then we got to the postseason and we didn't do anything. And that's probably a little bit embarrassing. And there's probably some pride involved for these guys. And so I would hope that there's some of that. I would hope there's some urgency and some anxiety and some nerves, all that stuff, because that keeps it fresh and keeps it new and gives you some drive. But yeah, to your point, like, you know, after the last 2 years, like, I feel like there's probably a lot of that from these guys. You know, don't forget Acuna was hurt when they won the World Series. He hasn't gotten to experience that postseason success. So as great a regular season as he had last year, like, it's time for everybody to bounce back and take it up a notch if we can get back to the postseason. But I feel like also, Sean, like, now we're kind of running that risk of, like, looking past the regular season. We're already looking at the postseason.
Absolutely.
You know, we got to, as you know, as we always hear, marathon, not a sprint, right? And it's just I always think about what Bobby Cox was always about, just winning series. Just win series. Just win each series. And by the end of the year, you're going to be in a great spot. And we have to see that start this week.
All right, Lang, so I'm going to put you on the spot here just as right. – Couple of quick predictions as we wrap up this edition of the Daily Hammer season preview with Lang Whitaker. Does a Brave win the MVP this year?
I'll say no.
Okay. All right. How many
Braves? I'll be quick, but you know why I say no is because there's so many players who can put up so many numbers. And I think you split the vote. It's hard, you know, for one guy to kind of get all the attention.
Do three Braves finish in the top 10 of the MVP voting again?
Yes.
Okay. Does a Brave win the Cy Young?
No.
Do Max Fried and Spencer Strider both finish in the top 10?
For the Cy Young, yes. I'll say yes.
Does this Braves team hit 275 home runs? Last year, they hit 307.
Yes, I think so.
Do they have the best offense in the league once again?
Yes.
Do they win the World Series?
I'll say yes.
There we go. There we go. That was the only one I was waiting to hear. His name is Lang Whitaker. Of course, I'm sure many across Braves country have been fans of your work, Lang, for many, many years, as they should. Make sure to check out his book on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Again, check out his podcast, Infield Fly, with the great Rob Fisher on Grind City Media. Lang, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon, sir.
I can't wait, Sean. Have me on soon. I love talking Braves with you.
I agree. Just stick with us for 1 second after the show. Of course, folks, you can find all the great content at batterypower.com, at Battery Power SBN, across all forms of social media, free on all podcast networks. Just hit that subscribe button. You'll get it when it's available. Scott Coleman, Brad Rowland will be back with you later on this week, actually tomorrow, with their preview. And I'll be back with you previewing the first game of the season between Zach Wheeler as well as Spencer Strider in the podcast to be named later as well later this week. For Lane Whitaker, my name's Sean Coleman. Go Braves. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Daily Hammer.